Emrek Sala and his paper, Shoghi Effendi's Question.
Friends, I'm very flattered with this introduction, but our chairman did not mention that while I was writing the editorials for the Canadian Bio News, Rosemary corrected my grammar and our secretary corrected my spelling. And by the time the friends were reading it, they could not notice my foreign accent. As to the subject, Shoghi Effendi's question. Between 1937 and 1938, there being no air travel, very few North American Baha'is could afford the time or cost to make the journey to Haifa. I had to sail to Europe on business in December 1937. Mrs. May Maxwell persuaded me to extend my trip, which I did by train and bus, to visit the Guardian. I shall be eternally grateful to her for this privilege. Throughout 1937, only two North Americans made the pilgrimage: Mrs. McCormick from Chicago and I from Montreal. While today, about 100 pilgrims arrive every fortnight, mostly from the Americas. This is one more measure of the growth and strength of the Baha'i faith. The Guardian told me that the main purpose of my pilgrimage was to visit and pray at the shrines and holy places. In my own mind, my main purpose was to visit Shoghi Effendi. Actually, I never met Shoghi Effendi. Having been the only Western pilgrim, I had the undivided attention of the Guardian for 5 nights of about 3 hours each. Gradually, I gained the feeling that Shoghi Effendi, the man, has sacrificed himself long ago for the faith and the guardianship. I have never met before or since a human being who had given so much of himself for the faith, obliterating all personal desires or aspirations. One evening, while discussing the subject of infallibility, the Guardian explained that the derived infallibility of Abdu'l-Bahá was much inferior to that of Baha'u'llah, the Prophet, while his own was infinitely inferior to that of Abdu'l-Bahá. He admitted that his powers were limited to the interpretation of the writings, having at its purpose the preservation of the unity of the faith. When I asked him, how do we know when he speaks to us as the guardian and when as Shoghi Effendi? Ruhia Kanun, his young bride, who was sitting next to him, asked, I would like to know too. Which is which? The guardian did not answer my question. I asked the guardian many questions, most of them prompted by my immaturity, having been a Baha'i only 10 years. One night, Shoghi Effendi asked me a question, which I could not answer, nor did I understand its significance at that time. Shoghi Effendi asked me, since after the martyrdom of the Bab, the authority of the faith was passed on to Baha'u'llah, and after his passing to Abdul Baha, to whom was it transferred after the ascension of Abdul Baha? I answered, of course, Shoghi Effendi. He said, no. I then said, the guardian. He again shook his head. I then ventured the Universal House of Justice. He again said no. And I could see from his expression that he was disappointed with my inability to answer his question. Then he asked, are the friends not reading my letters? The answer, he said, is clearly stated in the dispensation of Baha'u'llah. It is divided into four parts. The Bab, Baha'u'llah, Abdul Baha. And the fourth part is entitled The World Order of Baha'u'llah, which is the answer to his question. The guardian spoke a beautiful Oxford English. I spoke English with a terrible Hungarian-Canadian accent, which the guardian found difficult to follow. Ruhia Kanun, who knew me for 9 years, had to interpret on several occasions. After returning to Montreal, I wrote 7 pages of the usual pilgrim's notes, but did not mention the above question, as I did not see any importance in it. As time passed, I could not forget his question, nor the sad expression on his face for my inability to answer. I was also puzzled as to why he asked me that question. As the years advanced, especially after his passing in 1957, I realized increasingly that the greatest lesson I learned was not during the many hours of exclusive conversations, most of which were based on my questions, But it was the question the guardian asked me, which I could not answer. For the last 40 years or so, I've asked the friends the same question on 4 continents, at untold firesides, summer and winter schools, and I received, with one single exception, the same wrong answers which I gave the guardian as far back as January 1938. It is obvious that Abdu'l-Bahá in his will and testament stated very clearly that all Baha'is should turn to Shoghi Effendi, that whose obeyed him not had not obeyed God, and again he that opposed him had opposed the true one. It is also indisputable that he was the head of the faith during his ministry of 35 years. Yet, he wanted to impress upon me at that time that the authority of the faith did not rest upon him, but on the world order of Baha'u'llah, which was based on 2 pillars, the guardianship and the universal house of justice. His vision of the future went far beyond the guardianship, and our failure in all these years to visualize the significance of his question should indeed make him feel sad. Our faith centered in the guardian as a father figure, oblivious of the other pillar and its implications, which was a distortion, if not a mutilation, of our vision of the world order of Baha'u'llah. Shoghi Effendi describes this condition as follows: to dissociate the administrative principles of the cause from the purely spiritual and humanitarian teachings would be tantamount to a mutilation of the body of the cause, a separation that can only result in the disintegration of its component parts, in the extinction of the faith itself. Unquote. These are very strong words. Shoghi Effendi told me in Haifa that the Baha'i faith was founded by 2 prophets, the Bab and Baha'u'llah, and rests on 2 orders, that of Abdu'l-Bahá and the administrative order, which has 2 pillars which are absolutely indispensable to each other. Abdu'l-Bahá was also called the mystery of God, was, as I understand it, the last father figure in the Adamic cycle, which carried humanity through its stage of immaturity. In all dispensations, for thousands of years, religious communities centered around a pope, a caliph, an archbishop, a rabbi, a mullah, a priest, or a minister. In many congregations, even today, the leader is not only looked upon as wiser and more learned than anyone else, but is called the father, whose authority is unquestionably followed. Shoghi Effendi did not want to be treated nor followed as a father figure. He signed many thousand letters as your true brother, Shoghi. He did not want his photograph circulated, nor his birthday observed. One possible reason for his refusing to meet Baha'i communities on any of his journeys was probably to de-emphasize the importance of his personality in relation to the world order of Baha'u'llah. He told us on various occasions that the main difference between the papacy and the guardianship is that the Pope has exclusive authority to legislate and to interpret, while the guardian's authority is limited to the interpretation of the sacred writings only. Yet, most Baha'is, conditioned by a cultural, if not genetic, inheritance of thousands of years, and the precedence of Abdul Baha's imposing father figure, were irresistibly moved to extend to the guardian almost the same obeisance and reverence, and to the detriment of the authority of local and national spiritual assemblies. It almost seems like divine intervention that the succession of the guardianship was meant to cease in order to strengthen the authority of the administrative order, culminating in the Universal House of Justice. Guided by the vision of Shoghi Effendi and the events of history, the Baha'i world community, having been personality-centered, the characteristic of an immature society, has become assembly-centered, which is a precondition for entering the age of maturity. Baha'u'llah wrote in his last major work, Epistle to the Son of the World, "Year-long will the state of affairs within thee be changed, and the reins of power fall into the hands of the people." Perhaps I can explain what I mean this way. As an individual Baha'i, we are centered in Baha'u'llah, just as a Christian is centered in Jesus Christ. However, as a community, we are centered in Baha'u'llah only through our assemblies, which we elect, and which are an integral part of our administrative order, which in the future will be called the World Order of Baha'u'llah. Here lies the strength and greatness of our faith, its organic and indivisible unity, and its distinction from all previous religions. Shoghi Effendi wrote, "The revelation associated with the faith of Jesus Christ focused attention primarily on the redemption of the individual and the molding of his conduct as the fundamental unit in human society. Nowhere in the Gospels do we find any reference to the unity of nations or the unification of mankind as a whole. When Jesus spoke to those around him, he addressed them primarily as individuals rather than as component parts of one universal, indivisible entity." Unquote. In the secular world, we can already discern, since the early half of the century, a new trend of leadership from king to parliament, from prime minister to cabinet, and from judge to jury. Large industrial organizations are no longer built or run by one man. Great decisions are increasingly entrusted to the interaction of many minds, be it a board, a commission, a council, or an assembly. Even our great inventions today are the result of the working together of many scientists. Baha'is believe that 1844 marks the beginning of a new spiritual renaissance, which is awakening in men the social awareness necessary for social justice, without which world peace cannot be attained. The liberation of slaves, serfs, and sharecroppers, the socialist and cooperative movements, progress toward political and economic democracy, and many other humanitarian movements all had their origin at about the same time in the 19th century. The basic principle of the Baha'i faith is the oneness of mankind, and it offers a unique pattern for the development of a world order. Just as Christ taught individual discipline, so Baha'u'llah is offering a maturing humanity the means for imposing social discipline on itself. The Baha'i faith is like the great religions of the past, in that it upholds a belief in God and stresses ethical conduct in the individual. But it differs greatly in that its chief concern is the creation of a world government and a world civilization based on justice. Adolescent boys cease fighting each other when they reach manhood. Likewise, nations will, as they outgrow their adolescence, gather around the table and dispose of their differences as mature men. In a mature age, which according to Baha'u'llah we are now approaching, a new world ethic is required. Conformity to law, as stressed in the Old Testament, the significance of love, as stressed in the New, find their synthesis in social justice as expressed in the collective conscience of an awakened humanity. One who obeys his conscience has overcome his baser instincts. A community with a collective conscience overcomes the desire for national supremacy, for monopolistic privileges, or for racial priority. The Baha'i administrative system incorporates not only individual goodwill into a social mechanism, but produces a quality of the soul which can be born only out of a collective experience. Shoghi Effendi writes, "The principle of the oneness of mankind, the pivot around which all the teachings of Baha'u'llah revolve, is no mere outburst of ignorant emotionalism or an expression of vague and pious hope. Its message is applicable not only to the individual, but concerns itself primarily with the nature of those essential relationships that must bind all the states and nations as members of one human family. It implies an organic change in the structure of present-day society, a change such as the world has not yet experienced. It calls for no less than the reconstruction of the whole civilized world." Unquote. With the passing of time, as this faith will continue to gather momentum in all corners of this planet, the stature of Shoghi Effendi, our youthful guardian, will increasingly stand out as the builder of the administrative order, having led us with his unfailing vision through the transition period from the order of Abdul Baha to the embryonic stage of the world order of Baha'u'llah.